Thank you, Charlie, Susan, and Bill. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the 12th chapter of Romans. I will not ask you to stand this morning because it's not a gospel, but I do ask that you listen intently. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. For us, the people of God, thanks be to God.
I also want to say thank you to Charles and Susan Lynch for being with us today. Alan is taking some time off, and we are thankful that they were coming and able to share with us their beautiful gift of music. We are so blessed in this church to have gifted people in all areas, especially in music, that can lead us so ably in worship. You know, we talk about God, and we think about Him in those high and holy moments. You know, when you see a beautiful sunset, or when you go to a special place like the Grand Canyon, you see God in the birth of a baby, or in the coming together of two people who share a special love. We see God working in the midst of a great tragedy like the hurricane this past week. And it is good to see God in all of these special times and places. It is indeed right for us to acknowledge that God has created this beautiful world in which we live. But it's also important this morning for us to think for a minute about seeing God in the ordinary, in our get up and let's gloat, go to work lives, in our pay the bills and take care of business lives. It's important to remember that God is with us even in the midst of all of what we do every day that may or may not be so big and such a mountaintop experience. The God that is in the middle of those big and beautiful things is the same God that is with you and comes to you in all things. God is with us in our families. God is with us as we are with friends. God is with us in our work. And I certainly hope this morning that God is with us in the church. So the passage that I read for you, or that LaVonya read for you just a minute ago, is one that tells us how to live in our everyday world. How to cooperate. How to share. How to act. How to give. John Wesley, who is the father of Methodism, saw God in the ordinary. You see, he spent much of his ministry helping people be aware of God in their everyday lives back in England when times were very difficult. And he taught them that their lives should reflect God's love in just the everyday things that we do. He taught them three simple rules that can define our everyday lives. And I want to share those with you this morning because I thought about them as I was reading and preparing for what I would say today. And his three simple rules are, number one, do no harm. Number two, do good. And number three, stay in touch or stay in love with God. So I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning about these three rules in light of what you heard from Romans 20. First of all, the first rule is do no harm. Now, when I hear this, I think about the Hippocratic Oath, about doctors, you know, that they take. And I think I can safely say to all of us gathered here that, like doctors, we don't want to harm others, do we? We don't want to say things that are hurtful. We don't want to do things that cause problems. I know I don't. But unfortunately, in our human condition, we do that all too often. We don't mean to be hurtful. It just comes out sometimes. So we have to focus and think about what it means to do no harm. We need to be more mindful of how we speak and how we act. We know how painful words can be, or even how painful the tone of our words can be. We know that our actions, not couched in love, are hurtful and damaging. But do we really live that way? We know it in our brains, but is that how we live? We need to look to God to help us live and as if He were standing right beside us, because you see, He is. What would God think about our actions this morning? What would God have us do in a particular situation? What words does God want us to share as we try to help people who have lost everything? It's sometimes hard not to do harm, isn't it? The second rule is pretty straightforward. It says, do good. And we get that one pretty well as Christians. We know what it means to be good. We know how to feed the hungry. We know how to help the poor. We know how to open our doors to the strangers. We know how to heal and to help and to preach and to teach and to feed and to lead. But for the most part, there is one area in which we fail. And what is that? It is in forgiveness. And we should be most noted for that. Because look what Christ did in our lives. We hear preachers talking about forgiving those people who hurt us. And we think, you tell them, preacher. We think the message is aimed at someone else. And we relish the fact that the preacher is calling out to those who are doing wrong and calling them on the carpet. In our minds, we name them all. But we never let the words enter and penetrate our own hearts and souls. So we continue to harbor feelings, hard feelings, hurtful feelings toward each other. And the sad truth is that we do it to the people we love the most. We do it to friends. We do it at work. We do it at home. We do it here in the church sometimes. Now, I'm not sure, but when Wesley wrote, "Do no harm," that I'm pretty sure that he was talking about to others, but it could also apply to us. Because every time we hold a grudge, every time we fail to forgive, we harm ourselves as well as the other person. And every time we fail to forgive in the life of the church, we not only harm ourselves, but we wound and harm the body of Christ. I believe that the most good we can do in the world, in the church, and in our own spiritual lives is to forgive. It's also the hardest thing that we have to do in the church and in the world and in our own spiritual lives. There is nothing in the world which is harder than forgiving those who have harmed us in one way or another. Nor is there any attitude and action which is more important for the world to see modeled in and through us, the people of God, than the attitude of forgiveness. And how will they know how to forgive if they've never seen it before? How will they know how to make their lives work if they don't know? We have to tell them. Wesley tells us, do no harm, do good. I think the best good that we can do is simply to begin living the life of forgiveness that we have been forgiven for in the first place. And when we do that, then it takes us and fulfills that third rule that Wesley gives us, and that is stay in love with God. The best way to stay in love with God is to be obedient to what God calls us to do, to all those things that were on the screen just a few minutes ago that lead us into a life of forgiveness. That's why Jesus came. He came to offer forgiveness to all who would follow him. That was his purpose. But there's a condition to that forgiveness that we don't always like to hear. It's something Jesus was pretty clear about. If we accept the forgiveness of God through Christ, then we are called to forgive those who have sinned against us and harmed us. There's a prayer that we pray. I bet you could say it right now. We did it a little while ago. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive me with the same measure of forgiveness which I have used in my relationship with others. That's hard. But that's the way it is. Besides, we don't have to do it alone because Jesus promised to be with us and to offer strength and help in the struggle. An admirer of Leonard Bernstein, celebrated orchestra conductor, was asked one day what was the hardest instrument to play. And without hesitation, he replied, second fiddle. I can always get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm as second French horn or second flute, now that's difficult. And yet, if nobody plays second, we have no harmony. You and I are called to play second fiddle to Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and accept the forgiveness that He gives us, we give ourselves to Him. We are no longer our own, but we are His. Jesus comes first, not us. We're called to play second fiddle to Christ because when we do, we push aside our feelings and seek only to let Christ shine through a wave of harmony. And when the world sees and hears that harmony, they are drawn closer to God through Christ. Forgiving others is one way that we play second fiddle. And playing second fiddle is one of the ways we stay in love with God. Our purpose is to be part of the symphony of God's grace. But every time we are unforgiving, every time we don't do what Christ asks us to do, it's like the blare of a foghorn in the middle of a Brahms lullaby. We are called to stay in love with God so that we don't cause disharmony in His world. So the good news today is that through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, good does indeed triumph over evil. That we are able to get beyond the difficult things that come our way, that we can do no harm and do good and stay in love with Christ. It's important how we treat each other. And as ambassadors of Christ, I hope that you will accept His call to live in forgiveness. And to treat one another in the church, at home, in the world, in ways that you want Christ, or that you would expect Christ to treat them. That's why Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, I thank you for the forgiveness that you give to us each and every day. I thank you that you teach us and that you give us the capacity to forgive. Lord, help us as we go into our everyday lives, into our drive to work and come home again lives, that we will not be hurtful, that we will indeed do good, and that we will always be obedient to you. In the name of Christ, amen.